Good morning. I do feel a bit sorry for whoever's the next person that has to use this microphone, because I've bent it to fit my face fairly well. But let's get started with a word of prayer. Thank you, God, for always being good, for never changing, despite that we change, despite the world changing, despite life, God. Thank you that you remain constant. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the same yesterday, you're the same today, and you're the same forever. And so, God, help us to rely on you. Help us to live lives that honor and please you, that look to you for guidance. Help us to live as we ought to live, Jesus. Thank you, God. I pray you'd use me. Consume me, Lord, Holy Spirit. Thank you for what you have in store. We love you, God. Praise you, and thank you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. If you'd open up your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, please. That's where we're going to be studying today. We're going to look at Joshua 1, the first 9 verses. Very exciting passage. Probably many of you have memorized verses from this selection of text, as it is fairly well known. I'll start reading while you flip there. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. It's important to take note of and realize the context of this text before we dive into it and get too many principles out of it. And so just before this, in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses has presented the law to the nation of Israel, again, in the land of Moab, as they are preparing to enter the promised land. And here in Joshua, we see that conquest beginning to unfold. And here in these first 9 verses, we see what we can call God's commission to Joshua as he is initiating this conquest and leading the nation of Israel across the Jordan into the land, as the text reads, that was swore to their fathers. And we know, and many of you may know, that in the chapters that follow this, in Joshua 1, at least through 10, we see how God, this conquest is unfolding. How God leads the nation of Israel into many battles in which he leads them to victory. And so we see God initiating this conquest here and it unfolding in the rest of the book of Joshua. And what's interesting to know, and we'll get to and touch on later, is that this is unfolding, and we see as this unfolds that God's faithfulness is revealed. We see in the text that God swore this land, he promised this to Abraham, and now, many, many years later, it's coming true. That despite the fact that it's been years and we are transitioning leadership, we are going from Moses and now we're entering into the time of Joshua, though the leadership has changed, God has not, and his faithfulness still remains. And so as we get deeper into the study of this text, we want to make sure that we note the differences between our situation as well as the context in which this story takes place. A few important things to note before we take this word and we apply it to our lives, and we want to apply it correctly, is that we are under a different covenant. Obviously, Jesus has since the writing of the book of Joshua. He has paid it all. The cross got bloody. The tomb is still empty. Never forget that. We are under a new covenant. And I can honestly stop right now because that's good enough news, but we'll keep going. And it's important to study this and mine out some principles that we can apply. The tomb is still empty. Never forget that. And so looking at this piece of text in context, we can see how its truth unfolds and plays out and applies to us today. So this text is interesting, and we see, like I mentioned, that it was a commission to Joshua, and we can really sum it up in these few words, because it contains much exhortation. It contains the commandments that God is giving to Joshua, and how he's urging him and encouraging him to go, therefore, and three times he says, be strong and courageous, implying to us that Joshua would have had a fairly good reason to be afraid. In nine verses, if he gives him three times, in nine verses says, be strong and courageous, and one says, be strong and very courageous, it is logical to think that Joshua has a lot of reason to be a little bit scared. After all, he is leading a nation into a land that he, although he has been in because he was one of the spies, is fairly unfamiliar with. And so he's literally entering unknown territory. Does that sound familiar? So we can sum up this text in just this saying, here is what you need to know and do as we move forward. This is just a paraphrase of what God is essentially saying to Joshua. Here is what you need to know as we are moving forward, because God is rolling, God is moving. Here we go, buckle down, let's go, Joshua, let's roll. Here is what you need to know and what you need to do as we move forward. You ever been on, like, I'm assuming most of you probably have, I'm not a big roller coaster fan myself, but I have been on a few, or maybe an airplane, they do the same thing. How, like, before we get started, the assistant or the attendant goes through that line, that whole spiel of instructions as saying what you should and shouldn't do. Buckle your seatbelt this time before you take off. You know, do this, don't do this. And then they go through this whole spiel as to what we should and shouldn't do for our own safety. And oftentimes, I'll admit I'm guilty of this, you kind of just zone out until it's over. Okay, now the ride's starting. Now I'll enjoy it. But we have to bear in mind that this set of instructions, this whole spiel, it exists for a reason. That this set of instructions that the flight attendant or whomever it is at the amusement park giving you the instructions, they exist for a reason. They are there to help you. They are for your own good. They are saying, here's what you ought to do if you want to be safe and you really enjoy this ride. Kind of like the speed limit. It actually exists for a reason. Not saying I always follow it by any means. I do encourage it. Okay, let that be clear. But it does exist for a reason. However, unlike the speed limit, you may break it from time to time, and you probably will be just fine. Because the speed limit tends to be fairly conservative, and so, excuse me while I adjust the mic, and so you can usually follow the speed limit or not follow it, and you will be just fine. You'll be safe. You'll get to your destination just a few minutes earlier, and you'll be okay. Unlike this text, however, if Joshua were to disregard what God is saying to him, the conquest would not be a success. Because this is God's word, God's urging, God's exhortation to Joshua for the nation of Israel. If Joshua were to disregard what God is saying, the conquest would not succeed. And so we must note these differences, that we are under a new covenant. As well as, it's important to note as we move forward, that we see the word success pop up in this text a few different times. We see it in verse 8 in particular. We see this word success, that if the nation and if Joshua were to cling to the book of the law, it would result in good success. They would be prosperous. They would be successful. And it's important to note, although the word of God still does lead to success today, we are under different parameters of success today. Let me explain, because here's what I mean by this, because it can be quite confusing. If the nation of Israel follows God, and this was made clear in the latter half of Deuteronomy, if the nation of Israel clings to God's precepts, clings to his commands, clings to his statutes, and follows them diligently, they will do well in the promised land. They will prosper on earth. Essentially, they follow God, they do well on earth. They don't follow God, they don't do well on earth. Fairly simple. However, since we're in a new covenant, we're under a bit different parameters of success today. If we follow God, or if we pursue Jesus and pursue godliness, we probably won't do well here on this earth. As 2 Timothy makes quite clear, if we desire to live a godly life, in fact, we will face persecution. And so it's important to note this, that when the nation of Israel says, if you cling to the law, it will result in success. It will result in success on the earth. But now, if we pursue Jesus and cling to the scriptures and cling to the word of God, we will be successful. But instead of laying up our treasures here on earth and being prosperous here on this planet, we instead lay our treasures up in heaven. So the success is still there, but the parameters of the success is very different, and it's worth noting as we move forward. Nevertheless, we are in some similar situations as Joshua. We do have a job to do. There is plenty of work to do for the kingdom of God. We are faced with quite a lot. As we enter the year 2021, I have no idea what it holds, nor do I really want to try and predict. We're faced with quite a lot. We have a job to do. God is still with us. It may not seem like it, but that's the truth. That's the reality. That's the fact that we can hold fast to. God is still with us. We are the people of God. And lastly, like I mentioned earlier, clinging to God's word does still lead to success. It still does result in a successful, spiritually prosperous life. And we must not forget this truth. So let's dive in and look at a first principle. Notice verse 9 in particular, where God says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Very, very encouraging text there. And so we can come to this safe conclusion based off of what God says through these 9 verses and is highly illustrated in verse 9, that regardless of how much is facing you, there is no reason to be afraid when doing what God has for you because God is with you. I do not expect you to write all of this. If you would like to, go for it. But I would like you to get the gist of what I'm saying here, that regardless of how much is facing you, there is no reason to be afraid of what God has for you, because, there we go, because he is with you. And God makes it fairly clear in verse 9, and God makes it very clear in verse 9 that the reason that Joshua has no reason to be afraid is because God is with them. Although the situation is daunting and the circumstances are challenging, the reason that Joshua has no reason to be afraid is because God is right there with him. And that's the truth. And we see this also play out elsewhere in Scripture in the Great Commission, and many of you are very familiar with these few verses as well, in Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so we see this, actually, the Great Commission is very comparable to these first 9 verses in Joshua, where he mentions clinging to the law also in the New Testament, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And we see Jesus once again re-utter this promise that, lo, I will be with you, even to the end of the age. We can rest in the assurance that if we are doing God's work, regardless of how much is facing us, there is no reason to be afraid, because God is with us. Additionally, verse 8 makes this very clear. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, so that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Verse 8 makes very clear the fact that clinging to God's word, like I mentioned earlier, leads to success. And like we mentioned earlier, there is different parameters of success. Nevertheless, clinging to God's word results in a prosperous, spiritually prosperous, rich, successful life. Let me read with you a few notes. My study Bible here, by Max Lucado. He makes a few remarks on the first 2 chapters of Joshua. I'm going to read them for you quickly here. He writes in referencing to these first 2 chapters of the book of Joshua, "We go to the word of God for comfort, and when we do, the words pierce like a surgeon's scalpel, both cutting and healing. The word of God cuts to the very place where thoughts and attitudes come together at the juncture of soul and spirit, providing a healing that can be obtained in no other way on earth. The Bible was provided for us as a vehicle to carry us so that we may be able to see Jesus Christ. If you want to grow in the Word of God, become a person with a chisel and quarry the Word. Look, explore, seek. Let the Word become your Word, and you will grow. He writes, I challenge you to rediscover the Bible in your own life, to regain the same hunger and enthusiasm you felt when you first heard the name of Jesus. What an encouragement. Clinging to the Word of God still leads to success. I love Psalm 1. Probably many of you have it memorized by now. If you don't, highly I recommend it. I love Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who works... Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And he talks about how the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, and the way of the ungodly shall perish. I love how he makes clear his delight is in the law of the Lord. It is his enjoyment. It is his thrill. And he meditates in it diligently, day and night. And so I would challenge you all to take Psalm 1, memorize it, meditate on it. It's so rich and it's just filled with truth that we can apply. And it's exciting that the psalmist, he says, blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord, who takes joy in it. And we see Jesus himself use scripture in combating the devil and his temptation in Matthew 4, as well as in Luke 4. But in Matthew 4, we see Jesus answer Satan's temptation with scripture. In fact, it's interesting that Satan tries to tempt Jesus with scripture, yet Jesus refutes him with scripture, absolutely clinging to the truth. And if Jesus clung to scripture, and if Jesus clung to the Word of God, what ought we to do? If Jesus can refute the temptation with the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, as illustrated in Ephesians 6, he can use the Word of God to refute the temptation of the devil. We must know this handbook. We must know these instructions and pursue a godly life and delight in it. Why walk through life in the dark if we have the light right here in our hands? It was kind of funny. Just this morning, actually, my morning in a very paraphrased version. Wake up, go to the barn, do chores, come back to the house for a break, come back, finish up before church. But when I first went down the barn, it was dark. And I remember this morning I was slipping up a round bale to get it ready for later. And I was cutting the strings off so that later I wouldn't have to do that, so I could just get it done now so that I'd be more ready for when I had to feed it later. And I remember cutting the strings off and then left and whatever. And then I went, like I said, went to the house, took a break, and then came back to finish chores before church. And I went up to feed the bale that I had flipped and got ready and cut the strings off. And there I noticed that I had left several strings behind. And as I started taking them off because I had left them behind, I said, it's funny what you don't see in the dark. And it's like when I came there the second time, since it was daylight, like those strings, they were literally right in front of me. Like, it's like, how did I miss this? But I said, it's funny what you don't see in the dark. The same way with life. It's funny what the things you don't notice, but we have the light right here. We have the lamp right here. We have the Word of God that tells us how life works best right in our own hands. And like Donnie mentioned earlier, how it's like we have been so blessed to have a copy of the Word of God and to know it. And so let's know it and let's do it. Let's live it out. Let's enjoy it. Delight in the law of the Lord, as Psalm 1 makes very clear. And lastly, we see that God's purpose will be fulfilled. We see that unfold and play out here in Joshua chapter 1. That God's purpose will be fulfilled. And it's interesting to note, like I did earlier, that Joshua is replacing Moses. He was once his assistant, and now he is taking his place as the leadership figure in the nation of Israel. And so he's taking his place, but God's promise still remains constant. God has not changed. The time has, the leadership has, the people within the nation have, but God's purpose remains constant and in time will be fulfilled. And that's, as we see, this conquest is, as we see, Joshua leading the nation of Israel to this nation, to God's promises and the fulfillment of it, in that they take the promised land. God's purpose will be fulfilled regardless of who's in charge. Let me flip over real quick to 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm with you for a few verses there. Many of you are familiar with these verses as well. Peter writes, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God is not one to forget his promise. We are often the ones to think that he has. God is constant. We are not. And it's hard to realize this. And it's hard for me to grasp this in the heat of the moment when things aren't going right. And I'm like, where is God in all of this? Yet he makes it clear and has proven in time past and has proven in his word that his promise remains constant and in his timing will indeed be fulfilled. Jesus will come back one day. That's a fact. And that's a fact we ought to love, pray for, and cling to. God's purpose will be fulfilled. And let us never forget that. And so taking these truths, it's important to apply them to our own lives so that we live a more godly, changed, biblical life. And to start off, we've got to start by knowing the truth. Knowing the truth that regardless of how much is facing us, there is no reason to be afraid when we're doing God's work. There is no reason to be afraid. And the only reason that we have no reason to be afraid is because of the fact that God is with us. And we can rest assured in this. And we ought to rest assured in this. I know as I face this first semester of college, it was amazing. What a blessing from God. And praise him for how he provided. But I still have 3.5 years, and it's kind of scary, I'm not going to lie. Kind of scary, and it's a little daunting, and I'm a little intimidated. But I truly believe this is what God desires for me and what he has for me and what he wants me to do. And so, therefore, if I'm doing God's work, I have no reason to be afraid because God is with me. And we can apply this truth to wherever you're at in life, with whatever we're facing, with whatever we are up against, and I have faith that many of you are up against something because we are all human. But we can rest assured in the fact that God is with us. Secondly, clinging to God's word does lead to success. So we have to cling to the word. And like I mentioned earlier, I would challenge you all, as points of application, I'm just giving you a bunch. Take what's helpful for you. Take what's best. Take whatever you like and apply it to your life in whatever manner or whatever way it applies to you best. Just, we need to live a biblically changed life. Cling to the word of God. I would challenge you to memorize and meditate on Psalm 1. It's only like 6 verses, I think. Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. It just has a nice ring to it. And obviously, it's scripture. It's true. It's applicable. It's absolutely phenomenal. And in the context of Psalm 1, I would challenge you all to work towards delight. Where the psalmist makes clear that blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. I struggle with this. I oftentimes view my devotionals and reading my Bible and even sometimes getting a sermon ready as a duty. Like, I have to get this done by Sunday, period. And when it's done, check, off the list, we're done. Until next time. But it's so much more than that. This is the word of God. This is a delightful truth. Not a lot of things are good and not a lot of things are true, but this is both. Good and true. We ought to take delight and work towards that delight, and it will take diligence. And we see the psalmist portray the blessed man as diligent as he meditates in the law day and night. That obviously is work. That takes diligence. That takes work. That takes practice. It's hard. It's challenging. And a lot of times good things are hard and challenging. And so we ought to work towards this delight and have that diligence. In connection with this, I would challenge you, use other resources. Use different books that commentate on the Bible and use study Bibles that help us, anything to get us into the Word of God, to soaking in the Word of God. I mentioned earlier about the parameters of success being different. Obviously it's very true, but I pulled that out of one of the textbooks I used from college, Grasping God's Word. Phenomenal resource. But we can use other resources so that we can know the Word of God better, ultimately to live a changed life all for His glory. And lastly, God's purpose will be fulfilled. Like I said, not a lot of things are good and true at the same time. Some things are good, but they're not always true. And a lot of times the truth hurts. But the word of God is good and truthful. And it's the truth that God's purpose in his timing, his purposes for mankind, his purposes for the universe, will ultimately be fulfilled. So make note of this and cling to it and remember it. Thank him for this truth. Praise the Lord that his purpose will be fulfilled, that one day, like I said, Jesus is coming back, like he has written in his word, Jesus will come back and his purpose will be fulfilled. And so now we can ask ourselves, looking in at this text, and ask ourselves with this principle in mind, what is God's purpose for me? What is the purpose that God has for me? And upon knowing it, we can do it, then keeping in mind the first principle that we looked at, knowing that we have no reason to be afraid. So upon knowing God's purpose for our life and that ultimately God's purpose will be fulfilled, upon knowing what he desires of us in particular, we can then do it, having full faith and knowing that we have legitimately no reason to be afraid. Not because the circumstances might not be as challenging as they seem, and not because the situations, oh, we've endured this in the past, but the reason that we have no reason to be afraid is that God is with us. And so upon knowing our purpose and what God has for us, knowing that his purpose will ultimately be fulfilled in his timing, we can do his work, and he can use us to fulfill his purpose, and in doing so, in doing his work, we have no reason to be afraid. Because of the sole reason, like I've said many times and it's worth reuttering, that God is with us. Thank you, God, for your truth. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and help us to cling to it, God. Help us to know it. Help us to be changed by it. Bless us, Lord, with an infatuation with who you are. Jesus, help us to be in your truth diligently. Forgive us when we're not. Thank you, Lord, that in your timing, your purposes will be fulfilled. Thank you, God, for all you have in store, for all you've done among this church and among many more places, God. Thank you for so much more and for so many more, Lord, for people who go out as missionaries to foreign lands to preach the gospel. I pray a blessing on them, Lord. I pray fruitfulness in accordance with your will. I thank you, Jesus, and I pray, help us to preach the gospel. As we head into this new year, I pray, God, thank you for being with us. And as we head into this new year, I pray, Lord, you'd bless us with a vision, and we would pay attention to detail, clinging to your word every day, and even every moment, God. Help us to know your word is true, clinging to it, memorizing it, meditating on it, living it out as you see fit, God. We need you, Lord, Holy Spirit. We need your help. God, help us to never forget that apart from you, we are nothing. We cannot do anything spiritually good without you, God. And so, God, pray, help us to cling to you. As we head into 2021, we don't know what it holds, but thank you that you do. And so, God, help us to cling to you, the only one who knows what it holds. Help us to live well. Help us to endure suffering, endure the trials. And Lord, ultimately, may you and you alone, dear Jesus, our Lord God, Holy Savior, may you alone receive all glory, both now and forever. And it is in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.